Hello, and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for listening to this guide for parents, caregivers, and teachers helping children cope with grief. My name is Lori, and today I will begin discussing some tips that may be helpful to you. The goal of this podcast is to provide you with some information that may help children who have experienced a significant loss. Let's consider this brief story. Adam is a bright and energetic 12-year-old boy. He usually spends his free time playing with friends. However, lately he has been going through a very rough time in his life. About a month ago, he suddenly lost his mother. It was a shock to everyone, including Adam's family, friends, and community. But no one was in as much pain as Adam. He began acting out in school, and his behavior became a bit unpredictable. Who could possibly understand what he was going through? When was this hurting going to stop? Many of us know someone like Adam. Studies suggest that an estimated 3.5% of children under the age of 18 in the United States have experienced the death of their parent. However, children don't have to be alone during these tough times. Teachers and parents are in a unique position to make a difference in a child's life by providing support as children heal. A common theme that you may hear throughout the podcast is to listen to the child. Sometimes listening is the most supportive and caring act that an adult can do for a child. Let's take a moment to discuss how a traumatic event can affect the child. We say that a person has experienced or witnessed a trauma when they have been exposed, firsthand or indirectly, to an unexpected event. This unexpected event may have seriously injured someone or led to death. According to the American Psychological Association, there are four key elements of trauma: unpredictability, or shock and surprise, helplessness, fear, and horror. These are also known as acute stress reactions. This means that a specific event has caused a kind of reaction that may be stressful to the child. Each of these elements can affect children differently. These effects are greatly influenced by the child's age or developmental level. In order to understand a child's reaction to a traumatic event, it is helpful to be able to recognize the common responses to trauma. I'd like to briefly discuss some reactions that you may notice. Shock and surprise may lead a child to become dependent on routines and upset with routine changes. The child may be moody, angry, nervous, and easily startled. A need for control may also arise. Helplessness may cause irritability, bossiness, judgment of others, stubbornness, a lack of flexibility, and showy or risky behaviors. Fear may cause a child to be easily frightened and anxious. A child may lose their appetite, become forgetful and demanding of attention, and may turn to alcohol or other risky behaviors to help calm their fear. Horror may lead to nightmares, flashbacks, general sadness, and a numb feeling. The child may constantly think about death, the traumatic event, and may have many questions about the details of the traumatic event. The child may also make jokes. You may not recognize all of these signs, or they may come and go. However, knowing what to expect may help be a guide for you and your efforts. Sometimes children may have very strong reactions to their loss. From a traumatic event, some children may experience what is called traumatic grief, which is different from normal bereavement or normal grief. I'd like to take a moment to discuss this. Traumatic grief refers to the experience of losing a loved one suddenly. According to the Center for Traumatic Stress in Children and Adolescents, children who are experiencing traumatic grief get stuck on the way their loved one died. These children are not comforted by thoughts of their loved one. Instead, they become upset and frightened. This may lead to other difficulties in the child's life. If you feel that a child is experiencing traumatic grief, a professional counselor or psychologist should be contacted. This will give the child the best care outside of the home and school. However, one of the most important things that you can immediately do is listen if the child feels like sharing. Also, it's crucial to take the time to ask the child what helps. Kerr suggests that an essential goal to helping children is to show them that they have control of their situation. Children who feel helpless often become irritable unless they are given choices. children need to be able to direct their own recovery. For more information on traumatic grief, please refer to www.pittsburghchildtrauma.com. Children may need a long time to work through their feelings and emotions, so patience is important. Keep in mind that grief isn't a single event. It's truly an ongoing process that continues across a child's development. Demonstrating caring support tells children that, despite the tragedy, they will be taken care of and they are still loved. I'd like to refer you to a great website, www.projectreassure.org, dedicated to helping children of all ages deal with trauma and grief. It not only provides useful tips, but it also offers links and resources for parents, teachers, and children. Now, let's take a more detailed look at some other useful strategies. Immediately, you may say, "I'm sorry." This response may first come when attending the funeral. Children are often comforted by having teachers and peers attend a parent's funeral. Attending tells the child that you care and that you'll be there for them in the future. For teachers, it may also be very beneficial to learn about any family history of the children entering your class. Knowing ahead will prevent embarrassing situations when children would normally be required to answer questions about their parents. Questions such as, "What does your mom do?" or "Where does your dad work?" may be upsetting for a child whose parent has died. Children have a natural tendency to provide care and nurturance for classmates who have experienced a significant loss. This is such a wonderful thing to keep in mind. However, children who have lost someone may feel left out or different than those who have not. In private, you can use statements such as, "This must be really tough, and I am here for you," to build trust. Showing children how to give and receive support is part of affective or emotion education. And let children know that it's certainly okay to cry. If a student is teased because of emotional outbursts, talk with classmates about how crying is a natural response to sadness. Being a teacher requires you to make certain accommodations for students on a daily basis. You may want to keep this in mind if a child in your classroom is experiencing grief. Sometimes children, regardless of their age, need some time alone. Such breaks may come from a trip to the nurse's office or from the opportunity to excuse themselves without question if they are experiencing a rush of feelings. This is especially true early in the grieving process and around the holidays. You also may find that children experiencing loss have trouble concentrating and remembering. This is a perfectly natural reaction. Allow the child to have several options during their daily routine so that they may stay engaged in classroom activities. This may be an important step in showing the child that you understand they are struggling and appreciate the gravity of their situation. If you are the teacher of a younger classroom, you may want to consider reading stories about children who lost a family member. According to Levy, a story about grief and death can assist children and adults in discussing this sensitive and often painful topic. This can also be a way to show the child that others understand what they are going through. This may give the child a way also to understand their grief, since some children may not have the vocabulary to describe it. You may want to discuss some book options with librarians, other teachers, and school counselors before making your selection. There are many publications and books available on helping young children cope with death. A great resource is Family Communications. Their website is www.fci.org. It provides wonderful information for both parents and professionals and is a continuation of the work of the well-known Fred or Mr. Rogers. Another way for children to express themselves is through drawing. Providing any options such as walking, drawing, doodling, playing with a stress ball or clay can help students to relax. Also, this may be a good way to show your students that you respect their silence. The next few ways that children may convey their grief would probably be most noticeable to a caregiver or parent. However, it is very possible that a teacher may also notice symptoms linked to these behaviors. Although sleep disruptions can occur at any age, younger children may be the most vulnerable to nightmares. Perhaps as a caregiver, you may want to leave a light on, keep the bedroom door open, or allow your child to sleep in the same room as you. It's important to note that maintaining old bedroom habits and routines will help children find renewed continuity in their life. This is a way of reassuring the child that things will eventually get better. Holidays can be particularly difficult for a grieving child. They may serve as a reminder that family routines will no longer be the same. Be extra supportive and nurturing if you sense a particular sadness during these special occasions. Holidays not only have the ability to re-trigger children's grief, but they also may cause the child to feel as though they are not allowed to enjoy themselves. Children may believe that it is disloyal to have fun and be happy. Remind the children that they are not doing anything wrong. Children who are experiencing a great loss may also sense aches and pains. This can result from an emotional overload in the child. All of these behaviors that I just mentioned are typical reactions to losing a loved one. Children may move in and out of the grieving process as time goes on. They generally do not grieve regularly or constantly. At times, they may appear unaffected by the loss, or they may seem to be handling their grief. It has been stated that children handle loss very differently than adults, and it may take up to 2 years for children to adjust to death. This may vary with age and with each individual. It's so important to be open and honest, to encourage discussions of feelings and ideas, and to listen to grieving children. I hope this can be a guide for both caregivers and teachers. You have made an important step by listening to this podcast. If you are eager to learn more about helping children cope with grief, please read our Children and Grief Study Guide, also on this website. Thank you.